but seeing his human shape made him realize how much he missed his dragon form. Every now and then, the powdered dragon's bane in his hollow metal collar shifted, bringing with it a twinge of bitterness toward the clever asshole who'd invented the damn thing, whoever it was. The collars were a part of everyday life in the holding center. Dragon shifters who ended up on the wrong side of the law found themselves collared and unable to shift because there was no other way to control them as safely as other shifters. A full-sized dragon was nearly impossible to contain, but a collared human was another thing entirely. Grizz's collar seemed heavier every day, but soon the weight would be lifted. He stole a glance at his inside contact up ahead. Roger, the gray-haired squat man in his 60s wearing a hairnet and apron while he doled out ladles full of eggs, was his one and only line of contact to the outside world. He was a reliable guy who had been in the system most of his life, and he didn't deal with short-timers and new fish who were liable to cause him more headaches than they were worth. Fortunately, Grizz was from a different cut. He knew the ropes as well as the most experienced inmates and knew how to carry himself to avoid trouble. He kept his expression hollow and his eyes downcast. Shuffling in a slouchy posture gave the impression he'd accepted his fate. Guards would think he was depressed, just waiting to be processed so he could get out of purgatory like most prisoners. But he kept his frame strong so other inmates would think twice before trying to overpower him. So far, so good. Finally, the line moved him into place directly in front of Roger, and a thick glob of gelatinous yellow stuff splatted onto his plate. Grizz's gaze drifted up to Roger's. To anyone watching, it was just a glance. But Grizz caught the subtle shake of Roger's head before the man turned his attention away and served the next inmate in line without a word. Grizz's stomach clenched. He stood in line longer than he should have, long enough that Roger shot him a hard glare and gestured for him to keep moving. That told Grizz everything he needed to know, but it was no less confusing and a great deal more distressing than he'd expected. A guard glanced in Grizz's direction. That finally got his ass in gear and he looked for an open seat. The sea of bodies dressed in orange jumpsuits blurred into a giant blob as his heart raced and his mind tried to make sense of what just happened. That was not how the breakfast line was supposed to go. He should have heard from his boss by now. Harlow had promised to send word through Roger before Grizz's sentencing, but every day Roger gave him the same almost imperceptible headshake. That was bad news, made even worse because his sentencing hearing was just hours away. It seemed unthinkable that Harlow would simply kick an asset like Grizz to the curb after everything he'd done, which led him down a dark path as he settled into a seat between a hulking bear shifter, said to have killed his own brother in a jealous rage, and a panther shifter in for burglary. Had Harlow set him up? That was hard to believe, but he was flying blind now. All he knew was that his draconic instincts were giving him a bad feeling in his gut. Later that afternoon, when the guard removed Grizz's shackles in the courtroom, he flexed his hands and smiled his gratitude at the man, hiding the fact that his heart felt like it might explode right out of his chest. His little dose of freedom came with a much bigger dose of anxiety, making him feel more caged than ever. The courtroom was a din of shuffling papers, men and women in sharp suits bustling around, and a conspicuous lack of Harlow anywhere in sight. Grizz gulped a deep breath, trying to remain calm, or at least appear that way. Harlow would show. He had to. If he didn't... The back of Grizz's neck itched as everyone in the gallery watched him take his seat next to his court-appointed attorney. The man barely acknowledged his presence. He didn't matter anyway. Only Harlow mattered, so Grizz kept his gaze fixed on the door he knew the judge would walk through any moment. Surely, Harlow was with the judge at that very moment, telling him the way things were and that the next defendant should be released immediately. That had to be it. After he was released, Grizz would make Harlow buy him a stiff drink at their favorite neighborhood watering hole, and they'd laugh over how worried he'd been. When the judge swept into the courtroom, Grizz tried to read the woman's expression, but it was inscrutable.